Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Washington Heritage Museums this morning, and Ann Darren, the executive director, is here this morning. Hi there, Ann. Good to have you here.
This wild weather day.
Yeah, it's gonna be a crazy day. So we will see what happens. The Washington Heritage Museum, for those who don't know, it's the Apothecary Shop, the Mary Washington House, and the Rising Sun Tavern. Some of the more out there and upfront places around town. And if you haven't been to any of them, you should go to them.
Yes. Unfortunately, with the impending weather, they are closed today. And right now through May 1st, we're closed on Tuesdays. But we look forward to welcoming you all on Wednesday. And I should also point out St. James House will be open next month. So we're really looking forward to that. It'll be open during Historic Garden Week.
Oh, okay. The St. James House is only open just a few times during the year, but a lot of history at that house.
Yes. So it was the home of James Mercer, who was a member of the House of Burgesses and what would become the Virginia Supreme Court. And it has a lovely collection of antiques and decorative arts.
The Apothecary Shop, I think, was the very first place I went to when I first moved to Fredericksburg a long time ago. The Apothecary Shop remains just a fascinating place to go just because of the stories they can tell.
Yes. So we have many examples of medicine from the colonial period, and some of them are still used today. You just know them by different names. So, you know, whether it's willow bark that became aspirin, or using crab claws for an upset stomach, that's the same as Tums. You just know them by different names. Some of the treatments, though, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't want to go through.
No, and that's the thing that makes going through there so interesting, just
yes,
because of how they did things or what they thought, or just even some of the medicines that they used. It's a fascinating place to go to.
Yes. So, as I say, some things you wouldn't want to go through now. Some of the things smell bad, some of the things look bad, and some of the things, frankly, aren't very good for you. But they didn't necessarily know all that then. But it is a fascinating place, and of course, there's leeches there, and everybody loves the leeches.
The leeches story, yes. Everybody loves the leeches.
Yeah, and those actually are also still used in medicine today.
Yeah.
Just not, you know, maybe at your regular doctor's office.
The Rising Sun Tavern, that was the first museum I ever went to where it was so, and I wasn't prepared for it to be so interactive.
Yes.
But again, there's so much history at the Rising Sun Tavern.
There is. So it was originally the home of Charles Washington, George's youngest brother, but it later became a tavern. And it's just interesting. Taverns at that time were kind of the news hubs of the period. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's the place where news was discussed and current events were discussed, and so it's an interesting place. Yeah.
Now you stand in there and you just think of the people that were there. I mean the big name. The people that are all through our history books that were there, and the conversations that would have taken place at the Rising Sun Tavern.
Right. And I oftentimes, you know, I love to read in the paper on this day in history, and I often think, I'm sure they were talking about this at the tavern.
Yeah.
You know, that obviously days later, because it would take a little while for the news to travel. But yeah, I just think it's an interesting way of looking at news. There were newspapers, of course, mm-hmm. but I don't know that everybody had access to them. And, you know, you might not always go buy your newspaper.
Now that, I always think when I've been in the Rising Sun Tavern, you just look around and you just think of the conversation. Same thing with the Mary Washington House.
Yes. There are times, and I think the Mary Washington House most of all, especially, you know, beginning of the day, end of the day, when perhaps there's no visitors in the house, and you walk through and you just think of the history embodied there.
Yeah.
You know, George Washington really did visit the Mary Washington House. He really did visit the Rising Sun Tavern. So, and he and Hugh Mercer were contemporaries and knew each other. So it's not just one of those, George Washington slept here, maybe. You know, he really did visit those places.
Yeah, his mother right. lived and died there.
Yes, yes. So he bought the home for her. She lived out the last 17 years of her life there after having lived at Ferry Farm and managed that. And, you know, it was time for her to retire. So, yeah.
Well, and you're the one who told me the story about the Mary Washington House almost wasn't there. I mean, it was gonna be moved, and there were all kinds of things. We're lucky that women stepped forward in a number of cases, but especially to save the Mary Washington House.
Well, also the monument. So, in 1889, a lot of these, there must have been, you know, just a building boom in Fredericksburg, and the Columbian Exposition was coming up in Chicago. So two things happened. One, in 1890, the Mary Washington House was going to be put up for sale and moved to Chicago to be a part of that exposition. And fortunately, local women coalesced and reached out to what was then the newly formed APVA in Richmond and worked together to secure the funds to buy it. And similarly, the Mary Washington Monument in 1889 was put up for sale in what's just referred to as the terrible advertisement. And again, people were outraged. It was not the monument that you see standing now. It was the original monument. Yeah. But imagine if that had just been turned into housing or something else.
Yeah. And I know still work continues to try to figure out where exactly Mary Washington is buried.
Right. We've seen a few conflicting sources. So at the moment, we're not ready to say where she is. I'd love to be able to say that, but at the moment, we're not 100% sure.
Well, the other thing that has changed just in the last few years, the caretaker's house it's been there, but it was covered by, you know, shrubbery and things. And Washington Heritage Museums now is operating that. Offices are there, and you're able to really start. You're, you know, in the process of putting that all together and telling the story about the history of that particular building.
Yes, so we're very excited. We are nearing the cabinetry for the office space went in over the last couple weeks, and we're just putting the final touches inside to be able to move in. And you're absolutely right. I gave a couple presentations a couple weeks ago, and in the course of that, I pulled out old photographs of when we had just received the site. And at that time, from Washington Avenue, you couldn't see the lot.
No, you couldn't.
Even the neighbor across the street said that from his second story, he couldn't see it. The walls were covered with ivy. And you're right, there was so much overgrown shrubbery. So we are really looking forward to putting our spades in the ground this spring and really transforming that site.
Yeah, no, it's when you started taking the ivy off, it was just amazing what we saw.
Yes, so we did note that once the ivy was gone, we had a lot of damage to the mortar on the perimeter wall. No big surprise there. Ivy is terrible for any building or any structure of any kind. And so we have had that repointed. As you say, we've taken down a lot of the, even the bamboo forest, which I know, you know, we've received mixed reviews for doing that, but it was so important. Bamboo is so terribly invasive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we didn't, because it didn't start on our property, it moved its way there. So if we had not addressed it, it would have just kept going and going. It just works that way. So it was very important to address that.
Got to take a quick break. Ann Darren is here, the Executive Director of Washington Heritage Museums, the Apothecary Shop, the Mary Washington House, the Rising Sun Tavern, and the St. James House. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
And Darren, and this morning from Washington Heritage Museums, WashingtonHeritageMuseums.org website. With lots of information and a great Facebook page, too, that will keep you up to date. So much so that I missed it last weekend. I would have gone. There was a program last week on growing figs. I would have loved that. I would have actually gone just as a person.
To our surprise, because we were simply pruning a fig tree, and we put it out there, and almost 25 people came.
It would have been 26. I would have been there.
Yeah.
I saw it this morning, and I thought, I wish I'd known about this.
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll be doing that again. We've been working with the master gardeners of the Rappahannock area at the Apothecary Shop, and that has been a wonderful partnership. They have really helped us rein in the gardens there, which were very overgrown. And one of their key tenets is education. And so we're starting to share more of what we're doing in the garden, which is great. It also broadens our educational mission.
Yeah, yeah. So now I looked at that and I thought, this is why I need to pay attention to these kind of programs coming up. Because I looked at it and thought, I would love to know more about growing figs.
Yes. Unfortunately, they did it that was the day that it ended up hailing and sleeting and snowing. But they got it done in the morning, and that's why we were so surprised to see so many people there. Because the weather was terrible, but they got it done, and we really enjoyed the figs at the sites.
There, as far as programming or you know, programs coming up, I know this is spring is always busy, and we'll talk a little bit about it as we go along this morning too. The Washington Heritage Museum's involved with the Virginia 250 program too, so. A lot of exciting things going on.
It is nice. It's led to many collaborations. So we've been working together with the Central Rappahannock Regional Library for many events. I will say those that are interested in going to tonight's talk, I would keep your eye on our Facebook page. Obviously, that will all be weather dependent as the day goes on. But they are also now working with us on our speaker series to help advertise that. And that's wonderful because it just broadens our reach that much further.
Boy, that speaker series is good. I've come over the years to a number of them, and you've had some really interesting topics and speakers. It's on a Thursday morning and it's free.
Yes, and it's been fun to look back over the years and think about which ones were my favorites, and they're all good, but some of them just stick with you over the years. We're looking forward to the next couple. The next one, not to be missed, on April 2nd will be Michael Spencer and Danae Peckler. So I know everybody's going to want to be there for one, for Fredericksburg at the dawn of the Revolution. That promises to be You know, that's two of Fredericksburg's great preservationists.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's April 2nd.
Yes, at 10 a.m. at the library.
Okay. I'm writing that down and making note of that because that will be interesting. No, over the years, you've done, I can remember one that comes to mind was a few years ago, Frank White spoke about, and just a lot of time, usually, not always, but they are local historians and people will talk on subjects, and it's just, it's fascinating when you give someone 45 minutes or so to be able to kind of enlarge some of these stories.
Yes, that one was so interesting on the African-American history here.
Yeah.
We had David Marsich from Germana one time come and talk about religion in the 18th century. And, of course, one thinks of everybody as being Anglican then. And, of course, they weren't.
Yeah.
But it was a fascinating talk. We've tried to make our topics a little bit more diverse. And so it's always an interesting you'll walk away having learned something.
One of the things, and it's still months off, but before you know it, we'll be talking about Bourbon and Boxwoods. That's one of your big events, and that generally sells out. It's in the fall, but like I said, it sells out, and keep that on your radar.
Well, I will say, so it is October 3rd. Mark your calendars now. And sponsorships are currently open. So if you want to guarantee that you have tickets, that's the way to do it. You can go on our website now and become a sponsor.
Okay. WashingtonHeritageMuseums.org.
Yes. And we even have, for the 250th, we have a new sponsorship level called the Star Spangled level. So we're excited about that.
What other things are going on? Because I know you've got there's always this time of year things start ramping up in the spring.
Indeed, I don't think we ever have a downtime.
No, there never is. You're right.
We might have a couple down days here and there, but never a down period of time. But as you say, we've got a lot coming up. We have a couple tea talks coming up. They are both sold out. So. If you ever see our Tea Talks advertised, get your tickets while you can because they sell out so quickly. And we talked about the speaker series. And then on April 11th, we have Tartan Day at the Apothecary Shop with the Scottish Society of Fredericksburg. That's an annual event. And then next month, we also have the spring opening of St. James House. And that's April 20th through 25th from 1 to 4 daily. We've got a great group of volunteers who dedicate their time there. And I will tell you one thing most people don't know, and that's we will open St. James year-round for groups. Groups of 10 or more, if you contact us.
Okay.
We can't open it every single day. Without knowing that we have an audience, but if somebody's got a group, you know, your DAR chapter, your SAR chapter, something like that, and they want to tour, we would be happy to share that.
Okay. It's good to know.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah. It's a little known gem.
Yeah, for the St. James House.
Yes. And then we talked about the series in conjunction with the library. At the end of April, we have a program on Revolutionary War medicine, and that always promises to be so interesting to people, whether they've been to the apothecary or not. We hope they'll visit the apothecary afterwards, but you know, it's all about the medical practices and tools and interesting remedies and battlefield care.
Well, the Washington Heritage Museums, Anne, are so good, especially if you're new to town, just to learn about history in the area. But these museums cover this is a really a great place to start.
Well,
when you're looking at history in this area,
it is nice because when you think about it, we cover with a museum system. We really cover so many aspects of life in that period.
Yeah.
We've got domestic life at the Mary Washington House. We've got medical practices at the apothecary. We've got travel and the sharing of news at the tavern. At St. James House, we've got law. And, of course, at the monument, we have death and remembering.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and especially with the Virginia 250, I'm sure you'll have you're going to have people coming to town that are going around the state going to different things. I know there's that passport book that people can get, and there's a lot around here, and you really tell the story of colonial America.
Yes, so we do participate with the passport program. We are happy to stamp the passports of those people who tour the museums. The other thing I want to point out is this summer we have, again, Twilight History, but this year we are really focusing on the Revolutionary War, but its impacts in Fredericksburg, sort of on the home front. And that's an evening program for children, and that is June 22nd through 26th from 6 to 8. So it's a great opportunity to drop off the kids, go grab a nice dinner,
yeah,
and then come back and pick them up. I mean, it's a win-win. They're learning something while you go have fun. And they travel to a different site each, a different one of our sites each evening.
Yeah. WashingtonHeritageMuseums.org for information, or you can sign up and find all the information on Facebook with all of these programs.
Absolutely. You can also click into our website and sign up for our email list there.
Okay. Get on that. And that way, if I had done that, I would have known about the FIG program last week, and I could have participated. And Darren is here from the Washington Heritage Museums. We have Ann in all the time talking about things going on. We're going to talk about Ann this time because she's getting ready to retire. That's one of the reasons also to have her in this morning. We'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
And Darren's here this morning from the Washington Heritage Museums. And we were just talking, Ann's getting ready to retire. So that's one of the reasons she's in today. She comes in all the time talking about programs and fundraising opportunities and just ways to get involved with Washington Heritage Museums. But I thought before you actually officially retire, I need to get you in. I still remember our first program was in 2014. And Scott Harris, a mutual friend, had said, "You've got to meet my friend Ann." And came in, and I don't think he told you that it was going to be an hour long. We were going to talk for an hour, but we did, and then since then we've been great friends.
Oh, he did tell me it was for an hour, and I thought, what on earth did we talk about for a whole hour? And then the next thing I knew, the hour had zipped
over.
By.
It was. So one of the interesting things, one of the many interesting things about Ann Darren, I mean, you went to college here.
I did.
And you were one of the people, and it is a growing and a large number of people who were our Mary Washington alums and were involved in history there and then have made careers out of it.
Yes. So, well, and have stayed or come back to Fredericksburg,
yeah,
to do so. Yes, we, you know, there's a lot of us from the classes, you know, either just before mine, my class, or the class after, that have had a real impact on the museums and tourism,
yeah,
within the city. And, you know, whether I always tell kids, you know, work hard in your internships because you never know when you're going to come back and be the director. Because many, many years ago, back in 1980-something, I was an intern at the Mary Washington House doing some of the first research that had been done on the history of the building since the Depression, actually.
Wow. So did you ever think then
No.
This might be something I could do this.
Not in a million years. After college, I moved to Colorado. Then we moved back to Virginia, and we were very keen to get back to the Fredericksburg area, and we've stayed here ever since. So, yeah, it's definitely come full circle.
Where did your interest and love for history come from?
So, I grew up in Maryland, and we used to, I can't say that we traveled great distances when I was a kid, but we did a lot of traveling within Maryland to small towns, and my parents would point out architectural details, and I just found that very interesting. You know, whether it was, I can remember my mother saying, always look up, you know, right at the, you never know when you're going to see, you know, corbelling or different brick patterns or what have you. So it stuck.
Yeah. Well, it also shows just the impact, just the influence that parents can have. And the, you know, those little, you know, just even if it's a, even if it's part of a weekend trip to a historic site, how that can take hold.
Yes. And I will say the other thing that I can particularly recall watching the Addams Family Chronicles on W, I don't know, but whatever the PBS station was, and being fascinated by that. Now, I haven't watched it in a long time, but, you know, we know so many people who have enjoyed watching the John Adams series. I don't know, it had a profound impact. And then when I got to Mary Washington, took a class on colonial America and enjoyed that as well. So it's kind of gone from there.
Yeah, I mean, I was always interested in history, and then I ended up moving here, and all of a sudden I find history around me, and it was just, it was a gold mine.
And yes. And, you know, so many people come to Fredericksburg for Civil War history, and they don't necessarily appreciate the Revolutionary War history, but it is here. It is ever so interesting.
Yeah.
And we're all broadening our stories that we're telling to include the enslaved people who labored at the historic houses. And, you know, it's just broadening the picture. It all happened, and we're just telling more of it now.
Well, and just the way the storytelling and is so interesting of how everyone tells so many more stories now than in our day when you and I were in school, it was always, you know, dates and things like that. Now those dates are important, but there's the stories and the diary entries and those kinds of things go along with it.
Yes, or, you know, I always like to say, you know, the people who shaped, you know, that we grew up thinking shaped our history, they would not have had the ability to do so if not for their enslaved labor.
Yeah.
Whether that helped them accumulate wealth, whether that helped them have the time to do these things. You know, America was built by so many people, And it's time that some of them received the attention they so richly deserve.
Yeah, and the stories are great. And like you say, with everybody is telling those stories now. And it makes for a more complete telling of colonial history around here.
Yes. So we look forward to sharing more and more in the future. We're reworking our tour at the Mary Washington House. We have a new student tour, and we're working on the adult tour to reflect more of those stories.
I know you're always looking for interpreters, and there's always, you know, the interpreters there, and then the people that will take you through on the tours. It's always fascinating.
Yes.
All that they know and all the things that they can answer.
So I'm so glad you said that, because absolutely, we are hiring right now. And you don't have to have been a guide at another historic site. You do have to have a love of history, and you do have to have a level of customer service, but we are willing to train, and we really For all our sites, we are looking for additional interpreters. So, and that to do that, you just go to our website and click on opportunities to learn more.
Okay, that's I had thought that I know several people that do that and are always studying and always working on what they wear and everything. And it seems like if you've got an interest in history, this is a way to really be able to participate in it.
Absolutely. And many people don't realize that our guides, that is a paid position. They're not volunteers. Mm-hmm. We're still so grateful for everything they do every day. And on that same opportunities tab, that's also where you find out about volunteer opportunities. We're always looking for additional volunteers for the gardens. And what a great place to garden. Suppose you live in an apartment building and can't garden. Mm-hmm. What better place to garden? And knowing that you're having a beautiful impact on our city.
One of the things we didn't mention is that I tell you this, and I tell other people this, the bookshops around here at a lot of the historic sites are great, are all really interesting. I don't think there's anybody better than them at the Mary Washington House. I have gotten so many gifts from the Mary Washington House because it's a great bookshop.
Yes. So, as you mentioned, it's got a great collection of books. Our guides are always reading and suggesting books and books for historians of all ages, whether it's children on up through adults, many, many books there. And also lots of great gifts, whether it's, small hostess mm-hmm. gifts, something for yourself, something for a gardener, something for tea drinkers. There's something for most everyone there. And the museum store is run entirely by volunteers. Even our museum buyer or our store buyer is a volunteer, and that makes us very unique. And so everything you buy there, the proceeds go directly towards the preservation of our museums. And we're so thankful for those volunteers who also volunteer their time for our tea talks.
Yeah. Well, just the fact, just what you're, the stories that are told with Washington Heritage Museum, just being able to tell the stories of this community. You play just such an important role in what happens around here.
We do. As somebody pointed out to us, we steward more historic sites in the Fredericksburg region than any other entity. I hadn't really thought about it that way, but they're right. And there really aren't that many museum systems like ours, even throughout the whole state. So I've been really fortunate to be at the helm of it.
Well, so how did it come? How did it happen that you did get to the helm? How did you get from there to here?
So it's kind of funny to say this on a crazy weather day, but I remember leaving the Outer Banks on a vacation after Katrina and looked at the newspaper as soon as I got home and saw that there was an opening for the manager of the Mary Washington House and administrative assistant for the APVA. And I thought, that's where I did my internship. I think I'll apply. So I did, and I got the job and worked there for a couple of years. But we were busy raising our children, and so I decided to focus on that for a few more years. And then in 2013, I thought, they're grown now, and I could return to this. And again, an opening came about, mm-hmm. and so I decided to apply and came back, and then a year later became the director. And we've seen so much change in that time.
Yeah.
Between, when I first came on, we didn't take credit cards at the museums, and many of the records were kept on paper, and donor files were kept in Excel spreadsheets, and So a lot has changed over the years.
Oh, it certainly has. We talk about the way the stories have been told, but just behind the scenes, just the technology. And the technology has made it you're able to do so much more with social media and being able to get the word out much quicker on things.
Yes. We've got a great marketing person who helps with our social media and keeping our website updated. And we've got a great working board who, you know, for many people, I don't think they realize just how hardworking our board is. Mm-hmm. And they're not just meeting once a month and saying, you know, we should do this. They're in the trenches alongside us. Yes, very much so. It's impressive how much they help the organization. We couldn't do it without our many volunteers, whether it's garden volunteers, museum store, our board, our committee members. We're so thankful for all of them.
But COVID was a challenge, I know, for everybody, but especially in the museum world, because you were just so limited.
You know, it's been interesting. As you know, Facebook sends back your memories. And, of course, it sent back the posts that I had to do to close the museums for what we initially thought was going to be a week.
Mm-hmm.
Or 10 days, I guess. But, you know, it turned out to be a lot longer than that. And many of our staff members did come back afterwards. So we were very grateful for that. And our members and donors stuck with us. And we weathered the storm because not every museum did. I mean, locally they did. But across the nation, not right. every museum was able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so tough being able and to come up with new, having to come up and continually change rules and come up with ideas to be able to get people safely in and out.
Yes, well, and it was interesting because so many of those protocols had to be developed on Zoom calls. It's not like we could yeah. meet in person to create reopening plans and it's forever changed the way things are done. You know, now when we have a snow day, you just know the day before and take your computer home and we're able to work remotely. Or, you know, now we have hybrid meetings instead of just canceling it. So it really has changed us in ways that we might not have expected at the time.
Yeah, yeah. But boy, you're right. You look at the last 10 years or so, and you just see changes all over the place, and really changes for the good.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I mentioned some of the partnerships we've created over the years. I would be remiss if I didn't thank the Garden Club of Virginia for their assistance at the Mary Washam House and the Mary Washam Monument. UMW, oh my gosh, their Department of Historic Preservation has been so instrumental in helping us learn more about our buildings, helping us document our buildings, helping us write specifications for repairs, helping us with the education and sharing the history of the sites. We're so blessed to have the university right here. And I'm not saying that just because I'm an alum. we really yeah. are so fortunate.
Well, it's also important to realize to be able to have Washington Heritage Museums, how important it is for the community financially to
yes.
get involved, to be able to preserve and save and tell these stories.
Yes. So in addition to, you know, everybody else I've mentioned, we are so thankful to our many donors, our many volunteers, our members. We really, without local, state, or federal funding, we could not do it. Mm. So we're so thankful for their support. It matters so much, and every donation, every membership matters, because, you know, you may think, well, I can't join at, you know, a super high level, or I can't donate a lot. But if everybody gives a little, then it becomes a lot. And we do have some very generous donors that we're so thankful for. But, you know, give often, and every little bit matters.
Just be the stories that you continue to be told, and in everything. You play such a role in telling the story of the starting of the country, and we'll see it with the Virginia 250, especially the programs and the collaboration you're doing with by yourself and with others.
Yes, and one of those collaborative efforts that has worked out very well is with the local library, whether it's now becoming a partner on our speaker series, whether it's the other lectures that we've had in the evenings there. We're so thankful for all of these partnerships. Thankful to be on the radio this morning with you and being able to share the word that way. It has been truly wonderful getting to meet and know so many people that have been so generous with their time, with their talents, and with their treasures with the museums. It really has been wonderful to meet so many people.
And Darren is here from the Washington Heritage Museums. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Are you so frustrated?
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
And Darren is here with the Washington Heritage Museums as she gets ready to retire. Before we get out of here, there still is a fundraising going on for the monument, isn't there?
Yes, always, and for our other museums. So, whichever speaks to somebody, the if you give to a monumental vision, then those funds are restricted just for the use of the monument.
Okay.
But also, if you give a general donation, you know, that goes to whatever the area of greatest need is at the time. So. Yeah, never a better time to give.
Right, and again, it's the Washington Heritage Museums. If you, I'm sure you've been to them all. The Apothecary Shop, the Mary Washington House, the Rising Sun Tavern, and the St. James House. And WashingtonHeritageMuseums.org will give you all kinds of information on getting involved. All kinds of great programs. And again, you mentioned April 2nd, the next program at the library. Those Thursday morning programs. That if you're able to go to those, always just great topics.
Yes, and the program that was to have been at the library this evening, I just received word that it is being postponed. So keep an eye open for a new date. I don't have that yet, but it'll be up on our social media, or we'll be sending out an email to those that follow us via email.
On Mary Washington was the topic tonight. So I guess with retirement looming, just relaxing and travel and grandchildren and volunteering, is that sort of what's on the docket for you?
That and probably a bunch of gardening. So
okay, you can catch up on that.
Yes, so. I'm looking forward to it. We've got three grandsons, and we very much enjoy their company. They're always cracking me up in one way or another. So I'm really looking forward to getting some additional time to hang out with them.
Well, I will miss you. We've had a lot of very memorable shows, especially with the Caretaker's House and the monument, and you and I have done videos all around the pink ribbons over at the Mary Washington House every October, and just a number of things, and always your story and just your passion for this area and for these sites has always been evident.
Well, I always say there's no city that I would rather have spent half my life in. We're so blessed in Fredericksburg. Mm. It is such a wonderful place, so steeped in history. And we're so fortunate. It's got a real downtown with real historic sites. And getting to share those with the public, we're so fortunate. I'm so fortunate to have held this position. And I'm so grateful to the Fredericksburg community.
And Darren, well, thank you for your contributions to this show, but also to the community, and really keeping these historic sites vibrant and alive, because they really are, and they can continue to be if people get involved.
Absolutely. As they say, no better day to give.
WashingtonHeritageMuseums.org for more information. Facebook also has all kinds of information, too, and get email alerts and all that kind of stuff. And have a great retirement. Thanks for what you've done for the community in Washington Heritage Museums.
Thank you.
And Darren with the Washington Heritage Museums, thanks for listening. Stay safe. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.